47 a.m.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, babe. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
Jules, this is Ryan. Listen, on an airplane that's been hijacked, and things will go well, and it's not looking good. I just want you to know I absolutely love you. I want you to do good. So happy to sign. Same to my parents and everybody. And I just totally love you, and I will see you in Denver. Bye, babe.
In a country that most people would struggle to find on a map, in a compound that few possess the courage to enter, men from my previous life took the fight to our enemy. In that compound, they found men that pray five times a day for your destruction. Those men don't care about your religious beliefs. They don't care about your political opinions. They don't care if you sit on the left or the right, liberal or conservative, pacifist or warrior. They don't care how much you believe in diversity, equality, or freedom of speech. They don't care. I'm sorry you've never smelled the breath of a man who wants to kill you. I'm sorry you've never felt the alarm bells ringing in your body, the combination of fear and adrenaline as you move towards the fight instead of running from it. I'm sorry you've never heard someone cry out for help or cried out for help yourself, relying on the courage of others to bring you home. I'm sorry you've never tasted the salt from your own tears as you stand at flag-draped coffins burying men you were humbled to call your friends. I don't wish those experiences on you, but I do wish you had them. Most will never understand the sacrifice required to keep evil men like those from that distant compound away from our doorstep. But it would not hurt you to try and understand. It would not hurt you to take a moment to respect the sacrifices that others make on your behalf, whether they share your opinions or not. It would not hurt you to take a moment to think of the relentless drain on family, friends, and loved ones that are left behind, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, sometimes for years, sometimes forever. Ideas are not protected by words. Paper and ink may outline the foundation and principles of this nation, but it is blood, only blood, that protects it. In that dusty compound, a man you have never met gave everything he had so that you have the freedom to think, speak, and act however you choose. He went there for all of us, whether you loved or hated what he stood for. He went there to preserve the opportunity and privilege to believe, to be, and to become what we want. You have the choice every day as to which category you want to be in which direction you want to move. You have that choice because the best among us, the best we ever had to offer, fought and bled and died for it. Don't ever forget that. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sit Rep. And as you can see, I'm the only person here right now. I got to teach Alpha the Marine Corps motto, man. Early is on time is late, late is unheard of. He'll be here in a couple minutes. So I'm going to get the show rolling here. And before we get into too much, and hopefully my co-host will have been able to make it back by then, we'll go ahead and jump into our we'll jump into our first sponsor for the evening. And it's probably actually more fitting that I do this one by myself, because you guys all know this is my sponsor right here. Badlanders have absolutely set No Bugs Beef on fire. Have you ordered No Bugs Beef yet? Having enough protein to feed your family for several months is essential for your survival. Veteran-owned No Bugs Beef offers freeze-dried beef cubes and freezer boxes with steaks and roasts, all made from high-quality, all-American cattle and designed to last up to 20 years, making them the first perfect choice for long-term food storage. Whether you're stocking up your doomsday bunker or just looking for a convenient and delicious meal option, No Bugs Beef has you covered. Enjoy delicious, high-quality beef anytime, anywhere, knowing that you're prepared for whatever the future holds, and start enjoying peace of mind along with your delicious meals. Get your family prepared for the chaos at badlandsmedia.tv/nobugs. And don't forget to use promo code BADLANDS for an even bigger discount now, 15% off. Again, that's badlandsmedia.tv/nobugs, promo code BADLANDS. All right, let's get this rocking. My homie is here. You look stressed, bro.
Dude, I'm not going to lie, bro. I was starving. So for those in the chat, I told Ken, bro, launch the intro. I'm going to be coming in hot, like 5 minutes late. And I didn't even tell him why. So here's the reason. Y'all could judge me if you want. I was starving, man. Starving. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to eat on the show. Like, I know people do that. I can't. You know, I'll drink my beer. But I literally just swallowed a fish, bro. Swallowed a fish. And then it's like, after I did that, I gotta have clean chomps, man. Like, you know, I'm all about the teeth. So I'm like, I'm going to town on my mouth, man. And I was just like, ran over here. I'm clipping that. And I'm like, all right, man. Now it's like, you know what? I'm a firm believer. If you feel good, you do good, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, now, you know, Alpha ain't starving. My teeth are Colgate.
There you go. So I just saw a post today on X from New York Post, and they're like, yep, science is out. You don't need to shower daily in order to stay healthy or be healthy or whatever. Yeah, dude. And I'm like, hold on. As somebody who has gone months and months and months without without running water, without a shower, I can tell you officially that is a horrible, horrible idea. Okay.
I think when we got to Iraq, man, I think it was like 2 months, you know, not obviously in Kuwait, we would shower, but like once the war started, I want to say it was close to 2 months. It was at least a month and a half, if not 2 months. Well, plus we had the mop suits on. So, I mean, we had baby wipes. So, you know, you clean the essentials, right? But I mean, that was nasty. Yep. Like, no, you got to shower a minimum of once a day, twice preferably, you know?
Yeah, there it is. Daily showers are purely performative and have no real health benefit, experts insist. I definitely say it's performative. I'm telling you right now, man, if I was a single guy and I'm out there and I'm talking to a smelly chick, that's like one of the biggest turnoffs you could possibly imagine.
I had somebody at the GART conference. They're like, where do you disappear to all the time? Why do you go to the elevator? I'm just like, face. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, if I go eat a snack or we have lunch, I'm going up there to brush my teeth. Like, I don't want to be talking to people. And you got some broccoli just like chilling right there, you know, on your canines. Like, no, man, I want to have clean teeth. I want to have fresh breath. I don't want to be all funky. Hey, just because we're Marines don't mean we're not. I mean, we're nasty. Like, you get me? We're nasty. But we ain't that kind of nasty.
Alpha is like OCD organized.
like ridiculous. You know, I'll never
saw my room.
Yeah, and Gart 1 Alpha, I needed to borrow Alpha's truck to go secure some of my medicine, and he gives me the key to his room, and I go up there, and it's like, what was that movie with it? Was it Liam Neeson who in Taken, where he like lays everything out? Oh no, Denzel Washington in The Equalizer.
Yes.
Like that's Alpha, bro. Like lays everything out like in this order, this order, this order. Like he could walk into his room instantly and know that somebody was in his room because one little thing is out of place. And dude, that's an accomplishment to be able to stay that organized, bro.
It's I wonder if it is OCD. I probably, yeah. You know, I don't, it just, you know, my mom had already kind of raised me that way. And then the Marine Corps, man, I mean, it just finessed what she had already started. Listen, since we're still a little casual before we get serious.
Wait, we're getting serious?
I don't know, man. It just, this is probably TMI anyways. you know, whatever. I'm feeling good. I came in late. No. So my sock drawer is color coded. Like I got my long socks that are, you know, my blacks, my whites, my tans, and then I have my short socks, you know, that's like my colored things, where the white's got to be here, the dark's got to be here. You know, dress socks are a little bit different because, you know, there's a whole assortment to them. But I'm telling you, dude, my closet, it's, you know, all the shirts are, first it's dress shirts. So it's dress shirts, short sleeve, dress shirts, long sleeve. And then it's colored. And then, yeah, I'll stop there, man. That's not giving out too much. So,
gay!
Oh, I wish I had access to the buttons. It's why the FBI pissed me off, bro. When they destroyed my shit, it was like, I was like, this is going to take forever to put back together. Like, yeah. Dude, my toolbox, since we're just going, my toolbox, like, you know, no, I'm done. I'm not going anymore.
Bro, I'm the opposite, man. My wife, like when we go on vacation, my wife packs everything and she repacks everything. Like that's like, seriously, if I even try, she's like, no, you're doing it wrong. Nope. I'm doing it. I'm like, I'm not going to complain. I mean, what guy is going to be like, yeah, I want to spend all my time packing and getting everything perfect and everything. She does it. And then we get to the hotel and, you know, however long we're there depends on the level of messiness that the room is going to achieve. And, you know, like 2 days, okay, this is doable. 4 days, it's like, babe, pick your stuff up. Like, we got to pick stuff up. Me, I put all my stuff in just like a little corner in a ball. And, you know, I'm the guy, like when we pack to go back home, everything in my suitcase is getting washed no matter what. If I wore it or not, it's all getting washed. And so I just take everything, I throw it in the suitcase and just cramp it down and zip it up and I go. She's like, no, it's got to be folded. And I'm like, why? I'm just going to take it out and unfold. Well, it's got to be organized. No, it doesn't.
It does.
It does.
I got to side with her on this one, man. It's got to fold it. Dirty clothes got to go in the little laundry bag. You know what I mean?
So then you don't wash everything when you get home.
Yes, you still wash it.
Then why are you keeping it separate?
Because you don't want the bag to get funky. So what you do is when you know how you zip up the bag and how it has the two zippers?
Yeah.
So you put your dirty clothes on the top with, you know, you don't want to tie the bag in a knot because it'll rip it. But if you have the bag with the whole part of the laundry thing, face it towards the zippers. So this way, you know, whatever stinkiness is there just kind of goes out the bag. Don't make your bag all funky.
Were you like this when you were in the Marines?
I was.
So like when you packed your sea bag and everything, like everything was like perfect. When you went on a ruck, like you probably had like the most organized bag. And so therefore it was like the smallest bag. Like we just shoved everything in there. Like how did you make it through boot camp? Like how did you get through boot camp where like they, you know, like when they take all your shit and just throw it in the middle of the squad bay and it's like, dude, find your shit.
Dude, my brain went anal when they would do that. Bro, it's just like, that ain't my shit, man. I'm not you, because you know you just gotta, everybody's grabbing and you know you reallocate later, but in the meantime you're just like, I got some funky dude's draws in my freaking in my foot locker, man. Hell nah.
Damn,
but man, it was, you know, there's pros and cons to it, because like in my rucksack I knew exactly where to find something, or like if I didn't want to take it off I could tell someone, hey, just open it and go right here. But the downside of it is, like, you know, when you play, when it came time to play games, like, it was hard just to, like, stuff shit in there. Like, you know, it took me a little longer to make sure, you know, chow goes over here, socks go over here, wipes go over here, you know.
That's insane, dude. What's like, do you have an excess of like clothing? Like, I have a shitload of t-shirts. Like, I have t-shirts that I didn't even know I own, and I've had them for probably almost a decade. And like, I really need to go through and clean them out and just make some space. But do you have that issue? Do you have a rule on when you throw something away or give something away?
So, you know, that's kind of changed over time. I have an excess amount of hats. Like, I have so many. I have one of those things where you hang it on the wall and like your hats go in it.
I have that
too. And, you know, and that thing, each one of those things has like three hats in it. And then in my studio over here, I have like the hats that I wear, like, you know, the most. But I guess you could say my hats are what shoes would be to a lady.
Oh,
you know, and it's this, like, you know, if, you know, when the little one, like, she can mess around with all dad's stuff, but like, don't mess with dad's hats. Like, don't go there. And then as far as shirts and stuff, I don't even mind wearing like the old vintage stuff that I have, you know, from time to time. So it's just, you know, I get it changed. Like, there's Alpha before kids and Alpha after kids. Like, before kids, like, man, I'd be buying clothes like left and right. And like, since then, now it's like, you know, get them what they need. You know, and, you know, I'm a jeans and hoodie dude, you know, so it's like, you know, it's like I can have, you know, five pairs of jeans and I'm, you know, that can last me, like, I can wear multiple outfits with that stuff, you know.
I'm becoming a watch guy, and I really hate that because I never wore watches before. But like, I actually like changed my watch. I brought two watches to GART. I was like, I got a leather band for when I'm wearing my brown shoes, and then I got a steel band, you know, for when I'm wearing my gray shoes. It's so pathetic, but I'm letting you guys know that that's absolutely, and I hate watches. I still hate them, but I have like, yeah, I have like a collect, dude. So I signed up for this watch club where like it's $250 every 3 months and they send you a watch. And, you know, they're usually like between $200 and $400. And I write it off for the business because, you know, it's for travel, you know, work and everything else like that. You got to look the part. And, I don't know, it's becoming bad, but anyways, let's do a show. So I do have a video that I want to play. I don't know if you saw Sergeant Tyler Vargas on Sean Ryan. Have you seen that podcast yet?
I have not.
So he played something. I haven't seen this yet. Have you seen the footage from that day? The combat, like the GoPro footage from that day. Okay, so that's in here. So we'll get into that in just a second here. We're going to take phone calls after that. I got a couple things I want to pick Alpha's brain about. At GART, we were both on the Civil War panel, but we were on different Civil War panels. He was on part one, I was on part two. And I was like, the whole time I was like, man, it'd be great if me and Alpha were on this panel together and we could, you know, talk about like how disgusting at war actually is. And another facet is, you know, war being a drug. And we could talk about that here in a second. But, let's go ahead and start with this clip right here. So this is Sergeant Tyler Vargas, who was the Marine sniper that was at the Abbey Gate in Afghanistan during the withdrawal. He joined Sean Ryan. This is about 5 minutes long, but I'm going to we'll probably cut it off here because, you know, he says a lot of stuff we've already heard. But I haven't seen this footage. So check this out.
This is the story of the one where they were trying to get permission to take out the target and okay. All right.
Correct. He got shot through the shoulder after the blast went off and he fucking picked up his rifle and put that fucking ISIS fuck down. He put him down and, you know, there's a lot of people. And in the Army investigation, it was said that we didn't get shot at, that no one got shot.
The bomb detonates. The footage then stops and picks up 3 seconds later.
You good? You good? Right here. Right here. All right. Hey. I got down. They're breaking through. Is that our guys? Hey.
Many Marines here were young, some on their first deployment. The gunfire starts. They run for cover. This long burst is about 17 shots, bringing us a total of 20.
Christian Sanchez got fucking shot through the shoulder. He fucking put one of those ISIS fucking gunmen down. My buddy David Traylor, he got shot through his fucking thigh. And I mean, it literally went through. I got hit with 100 to 150 ball bearings, and they just, you know, bore little tunnels in me. He got shot through his thigh, and the whole backside's fucking blown out. I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious what happened.
Did you know that they got shot at?
Did not know that. Never heard that.
Yeah, that's the very first time I've heard that they got shot at, and two of them actually got shot. I hadn't heard that before. And I mean, that was some pretty serious gunfire there. You had a couple bursts there. It's a little difficult for you guys to hear when we play it through the audio here. But yeah, dude, that was news to me that there was gunfire. So, all right, let's keep going.
He's got a cone-shaped indent in his leg from getting shot. And, you know, in that Army investigation, it was said, you know, they were concussed and unreliable because of what happened, that these somehow 40, 50, 60 witnesses, Marines, sailors, soldiers, what they witnessed didn't happen because of the blast.
Yeah. Do you remember when Iran responded to one of our bases in Iraq, I believe, and they said that there were some head injuries, and they gave Trump a lot of shit for saying, you know, that it's head injuries, they'll be okay, everything will be all right with them, and they got a lot of shit for that. And now you have them literally telling these guys, hey, you had a head injury, so your testimony is unreliable.
Like they were trashing Trump because they said that he was minimizing the injuries to the troops,
right? And here they are telling them, like, they're not minimizing it. They're saying that they're unreliable because they were concussed in a firefight. I'm telling you right now, I've had several concussions in firefights and explosions and stuff. And
it's the whole reason we do a situation report. How do you do a situation report if your brain's fucked up because you were taking rounds or explosions? We're trained for that shit.
Dude, that's nuts, man. All right, let's keep going.
That's Army Brigadier General Lance Curtis backed all decisions made by commanders at Abbey Gate on that day, in quotes.
All right, I didn't know that either. The Brigadier General there said that he backed all on-scene commanders' decisions of that day except at Abbey Gate.
CYA.
Right. Big time. Big time CYA. Either that or WTF. What? Why was that commander different? Why were his orders different than other commanders that were on the ground there? That's really interesting.
Based on our investigation at the tactical level, this was not preventable.
Yeah. And certain individuals recently testified in front of the House Foreign Affairs Committee saying that, you know, they were asked by a congressman if they regret what happened and how the evacuation was handled. And they said, I don't regret what happened, and I don't regret the way the evacuation was handled. And that's pretty, you imagine being the family or the friend of one of those 13 service members killed in action, hearing that. I couldn't fucking imagine. I know how much it pisses me off hearing that shit. They pulled out 2 days later after that. Right before that, they started going around destroying all of the equipment and all of everything they could think that would be useful, destroying, spray painting everything across HKIA, and came back from the ground force commander that the vehicles that had been flipped over and the spray paint that said "fuck you Taliban, fuck ISIS" needed to be covered up. The vehicles needed to be flipped back over. They needed to fix the damage, like, to those vehicles and things that they had done. So after these 13 service members are killed, after they're tasked with destroying everything so the Taliban, ISIS don't have access to it, they're then told by ground force commander to fix that damage.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I wish I wasn't.
What a fucking joke.
Right?
So they went back, told to fucking cover it up with spray paint, told to fucking flip those vehicles back over. And, I mean, man, it's just like, it's one fucking thing after another post that. And I can't fathom why we can't change the fact that these 13 service members were killed. So why the fuck do you have to lie about what happened? Why do you have to lie about what happened? What we experienced, what everyone out there went through, what we saw, how can John Kirby stand and say, as the press representative from the White House, how can he stand there, and being a former admiral in the Navy, how can he stand there and say that he didn't see any fucking chaos from his perch? And that's quote, I didn't see any chaos from my perch.
He's a coward.
Who the fuck talks like that from your perch? Who talks like that? Who fucking says that? 13 Americans were killed. And you're going to speak like that and say that everything was done right, that you couldn't see any fucking chaos from your perch? It's fucking disgusting.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. It's not your fault.
I'm sorry.
But it's someone's.
Damn.
Fuck, bro. Shit got me mad a little bit. A lot, actually. I want to bring something on the screen if you don't mind sharing it.
Yeah, good.
All right, let me see.
Send me a request after this and I'll give you access on here.
So this is Hunter Lopez. This is one of the 13 that died that day. 22 years old when he died. And the reason this particular young man resonates is I worked with his dad. His dad's a sheriff's deputy in Riverside County Sheriff's Department. And I believe his mom, I think, is a sheriff too, or dispatcher, but she also works for the sheriff's department. These two parents, man, you know, this is their son. And when you look at pictures of this kid, this was going to be a deputy, dude. This kid, once he contract out, this guy was going to continue. You could just tell based on the legacy his dad and mom started in him. And this is one of those 13, there's, you know, 12 other stories equally important, but this is one of those stories where they say wouldn't change anything. Like, he's a baby, bro. You know, we're at 22 years old. We're babies, man. And you see the guy that's being interviewed, and I don't know if, but on his left arm, the arm he still has, it's all scarred to shit. Yep. You know, he's got a fucking hook on the other one. Who knows what kind of damage there is to his legs? I remember hearing the story that he was pretty screwed up. Like his shit was jacked up. And then to hear them talk about, you know, no regrets, wouldn't have been done different. Like, dude, they hate our troops, bro.
Yep.
Like, they hate our troops. And, you know, when he was talking about the part where he says they're making them paint over the part where it says, fuck ISIS. Like, their brothers just got smoked. And this is their... considering it's war, that's a very civil fucking response to say fuck you back, you know, and then to say no, go cover it up. We don't want to offend the fucking Taliban. We don't want to offend ISIS, the dude that just did this shit to our people. Like, fucking cowards that are in that admin staff, man. Like, fucking cowards, man. It's just, you know, in the civilian world, you know, I don't advocate for violence, but in the military world, there's some people that need to get punched in the fucking mouth.
Hell yeah. Take it to the tree line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I agree that they hate the troops. I think they're apathetic, which might be worse, because at least when somebody hates you, you know that they hate you. When somebody's apathetic, you don't know which way they lean, and you assume that they have your best interest in at heart and in mind. And I think these people just really don't give a shit at all. And, you know, it's all, you know, we're just pawns on the chessboard. I think we both have realized that by now, that, you know, until you're at a certain level in the chain of command, you're just a pawn, right? You're the weakest beast on the board. You do all the work, you know, you're on the front lines, but if you get sacrificed, you get sacrificed. And, you know, that's, I mean, that whole shit show in Afghanistan, I mean, for them to sit there and say nothing could have been different. Well, how far back are you going when you say nothing could have been different? You know, nothing could have been done to prevent this.
There's because, always, you know, shit that could be done different. Even when we do shit the right way, there's still shit that could have been done different and better. So to say a military incident that resulted in the loss of life of 13 military service members, to say there's nothing we could have done different, you're screw you, man. Like, you are a lying piece of shit. Like, you know, we ran operations that we're super proud of, and we ran operations where we're like, fucking A, we got lucky. Like, thank God luck was on our side on that shit, you know? And even in the best ones, there was always shit that we could have did better, man. So to hear them just, I mean, my heart goes out to that dude, man. The dude was being very professional, but you can tell that, like, he just wants to throat punch these fucking people, man. And understandably so. Look at the dude's, just forget what he's going to go through the rest of his life mentally. Just look at the physical shit that happened to this guy. And to have people just be like, you know, whatever, it's just, I don't know, man. This is jacked up, bro.
Yep. All right, let's hit our next sponsor, and then we'll segue into another topic here. And we've got Energy Technologies. Check this out.
The Flex Tactical by Energy is the most rugged and ready portable power station on the market. Recently, Energy won contracts from the U.S. Army and Air Force to create a modular solar power station suitable for field and combat operations. We designed the Tactical for heavy-duty use in extreme environments. It is the most durable, versatile, portable power station ever built. Do you want the peace of mind that comes with knowing you have the most advanced, emergency-ready, durable, portable solar power solution? Do you want a power station that you know will be there in almost any condition? Order your Flex Tactical Edition today. Take charge of your safety and be ready for anything.
All right. And while we're at it, let's go ahead, because this way when we get to the phone calls, we can go through. But with just one more break. But next sponsor we got up, ladies and gentlemen, we had the opportunity to meet Steven, the owner of Loaded Gun Coffee at Gart. And looking forward to getting him on the show here. He brought us a bag of the beautiful, I want to read it right, the beautiful bourbon pecan, aged bourbon, caramel pecan pie and vanilla, and it is a piece of heaven, man. This coffee. Dude,
tell them what's on the back of the bag too. Did he go over that part with you?
Yeah. So this is what we're looking forward to when we go through, and it's actually in the ad. You'll see there's a page where it lists all of his family members, and Alf and I had the opportunity to sit there, and he was telling us stories about all the people on the back of the bag that are related to him, and it's incredible. This is a family that's dedicated to service to this country, and it's a beautiful thing. So let's go ahead and jump into the sponsor. Wake up to the bold flavors of Loaded Gun Coffee, where passion, precision, and patriotism infuse every sip. As a veteran-owned business, we ensure each cup is steeped in pride and unwavering commitment. Our roasters handpick the finest coffee beans from around the world and have mastered unique brewing methods. Our skilled farmers cultivate the coffee to embody the essence of duty and honor in every meticulously crafted blend. But it's more than just coffee. It's family enduring commitment to freedom. With military veterans tracing their legacy back to the Civil War, including Purple Heart recipients, Loaded Gun Coffee is a brewed testament of pride and honor. Dedicated to preserving the integrity and strength of our beloved nation, we proudly stand as a fierce advocate for a secure border and a strong America. And of course, we stay loaded, Badlanders, with Loaded Gun Coffee. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/loaded and enter promo code Badlands for 10% off your purchase. Again, that's badlandsmedia.tv/loaded, promo code Badlands. And this is one of the great ways you can sign up and get a subscription service where you get your coffee delivered to you on the, you know, whatever day every month, and you make sure that you never run out. And I'm telling you, get yourself a cheap little grinder to grind the beans, because they come whole bean, and it changes the whole concept of coffee. So,
dude, I'm still irked. about that video. I'm sorry, bro. I know we're shifting gears here, but that shit irked me, man. And I was thinking, who was that? And forgive me, my brain's not caught up with me yet. Who was that badass officer that we had on sit rep last year?
That Stuart Scheller.
Thank you. Yep. You know, you have these people that are willing to come out, you know, address the truth, be held accountable, which nobody else shit is, you know, and you rewind the clock all the way back to Obama when he got rid of, what was it, like 160, 190 generals?
Yep.
And it's like, and you look at the, you know, the forced position of take the jab or don't take the jab and get, you know, phased out if you don't. I mean, all the people that we need to have in the military to make sure that shit doesn't happen, we fucking evicted them, dude. Like, how long? Like, I mean, I know I'm calling for speculation from you here, but dude, how long does it take to unfuck that?
It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of changing the mission from an imperialistic mission to a national defense mission, like actual national defense, not, hey, those guys in caves 8,000 miles away have the potential to hit us, so we need to go over there and hit them first, and we'll call that defense. You know, that's not defense. We could bring, this country spends way too much money on.
I'm just saying, because it takes a long time to develop an officer. Like, people may not know, but it takes, and I'm not just talking about the educational part, but I'm talking about, you know, on the job training type shit, you know, with senior leadership and all this other stuff. Like, it takes a very long time to do that. And if we evicted the ones that we want to be training the new ones, and a lot of the ones that we held on to are the ones that are the yes sirs or just weren't brave enough to take a stand, like, that in essence is what's going to be training the new breed, unless the new breed comes in, that's coming in, is one that's like, I'm just not going to learn from you, and I'm going to start my own officer legacy here the way I see fit, which, you know, that's going to be this, you know, type of, you know, movement that's in there. I just feel like our military is in trouble, and it's not in trouble because we don't have brave people. We have brave people. We have skilled war fighters, but you know, you can have the best gun in the world. You got to know how to use it, and you got to know where to put it. And I just feel like we don't have that, man.
Well, that was one of the things that Colonel Scheller said when he was on this. And, you know, Colonel Scheller was a battalion commander for 1st Battalion, 8th Marines, which I was with 1st Battalion, 8th Marines. He was there a little bit after, I think, after I left. But the guys from Abbey Gate were also 1st Battalion, 8th Marines. So the three of us have a commonality there in being with the same unit. And one of the things that Colonel Scheller said that will always, always, always stick with me is that your junior enlisted and enlisted Marines and your field grade what's the middle one? Jeez, I can't think of it. Your middle officers down, your field grade officers, I can't think of the term, but anyways, your colonel and below, we were winning every battle. We were winning every fight. We were doing everything right. And the general officers could not get shit. Like, we couldn't progress. We were winning, but we couldn't progress. Now, talking to Colonel Towner about Gladio and the Poppy and, you know, the CIA's and the DEA's operations, it makes perfect sense why we can never progress, because there was never really an anticipation to progress. It was a cash cow and we were milking it. We were the guys that were sitting there pulling on the udders. General Flynn said the same thing in the beginning of his movie. He said America gets an A+ for getting into wars and a D- for getting out of them, because we can't win. We can't win these wars because they're not meant to be won. They're really not. There used to be pride in winning a war as America. Like, we used to be like, hey, we don't want to get into the war, but when we get in, stand the fuck by. We're coming full force at you, and we're going to get in and get out and move this shit along. But we've been lied to, man. And
we have. And because honestly, man, the only way I see us getting our military to where it needs to be in a reasonable amount of time is, I think, Trump is going to have to create a program. I don't know how it sounds. I don't know what the policies or the laws look like, but they're going to have to create a program where you're going to just have to bribe some people to come back after the shit you put them through. And I'm not talking just military. I'm talking military, law enforcement, and even in the medical field, because this also happened in the ranks of doctors and nurses. Like, they need to do something to bring these people back, you know, because a lot of them are just like, F it, I have enough to retire. I'm done. I did my piece. And, you know, we're going to have to put some incentives in front of these patriots that were literally pissed on, you know, because people, oh, they should be patriots and they should just come back. Yeah, say that after your country just pissed on you, you know, for serving them for 20 or 30 years. You know, it leaves you a little salty.
Well, there's a blank industrial complex in almost every single industry right now. And that is because the government has such a stronghold on everything. You know, I was looking this morning and I didn't cover it on daily. I'll probably cover it tomorrow. But the GDP numbers came out and we're showing 1.6% growth, which is abysmal. That's horrible. I mean, it's better than negative growth. It's better than zero, but it's horrible. Like average, like something to celebrate a little bit is 2.5 or above, you know, 1.6 is terrible. Now I haven't verified this yet, but my dad called me earlier today and he was saying that, private industry growth is in the negative. The only way that we grew was in government spending and government, expansion. And that makes sense. That makes sense because they're, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act and everything else, just propping up massive amounts of government spending, the military industrial complex, getting all that money from Ukraine, pumping it back in and driving up the GDP through government incentive, you know, government spending. Every facet of our lives has this industrial complex, blank industrial complex. And there was a clip that I saw the other day that was this guy on YouTube named, I think it's Professor Stange. Have you seen him? Mm-mm. Okay, so he's talking about 50 Wall Street firms that were given insider information about inflation numbers before they were published by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. And the guy's saying, like, this is a license to print money. If you give a firm, a hedge fund firm, an investment firm, that type of information prior to it coming out public, you can manipulate the market because you know it's going to go up, it's going to go down, you know what segments are going to go up and down, et cetera, et cetera. And he said in that thing, he says, and this is a well-known secret that this happens with the BLS, because what happens is these people at the BLS, they end up going and joining one of these firms and making, like, same thing with the generals. You know, the generals leave the military and they go to Raytheon, they go to Boeing, Nikki Haley, they go wherever these places are and they make all this money in it. And that's why Trump, when November 16th, I think it was November 16th, when he announced his run for 2024, he said, we're going to close the revolving door with the lobbyists and the special interest and the government contractors and these bureaucrats going to those places. And let's hope he does that.
Let's hope he does that, but I just think it's going to take a lot more than just that.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That interview really pissed me off, bro. Like if you were trying to hit me in the feels, bro, like that one was a gut punch, dude.
All right. Well, let's do a little bit of celebrating here. Have you seen these two little clips yet?
I have not.
All right. So check this out. This is outside of New York. All right. At the Trump trial. And this is I don't know if he's just a member. It says New York Union leader, but I believe this is the iron workers. And listen what he tells Newsmax.
We are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group and we love our country and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be.
All right. We had that one. And then we have one more. Let me get this next one queued up. This one was even better. I love this one. This one's just straight to the point, man. Just let them know how you feel, right?
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Fuck you.
Shit, bro. Wow, dude, yes. Oh, I need that clip right there, man. I want that part. What's your message to Joe Biden? Fuck you. That's like me talking to the FBI right there, man. That dude's legit, man.
I love it.
You know what? It's, I really hope it's too big to rig. You know, I really hope it is. But if it's not, and they steal it, man, how do you convince the populace, man, that Joe Biden really won? Like it's almost like if you wanted to start a fucking, you know, a revolution, like that's the freaking way you would pop your shit off to say, nah, Biden won. Fuck all you minions. Your vote doesn't matter. This is what's going on. It's just, we've talked about it, man.
Dude, I played a clip this morning on Daily, from the Daily Show, like Jon Stewart's Daily Show, but it was with two other hosts. And they start the show off and they play a clip of the I guess it's the Prime Minister of New Guinea. And he's saying, we strongly condemn President Biden for saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals and all this other stuff. And what is he talking about? And blah, blah, blah. And when the clip's over, the hosts come back and they're like, this guy's going to lose the election. And they're just like dogging on Joe Biden. This is Daily Show. They're just dogging on him straight. It gets to the end and they're like, maybe the Prime Minister of New Guinea should embrace cannibalism and be like, yeah, come fuck with me. We'll cut you up and turn your dick into put your dick on a Kaiser roll. It was actually pretty funny. But dude, they were just straight up bashing on Joe Biden.
I played a clip earlier today on Roll Call where Biden's talking about how, did you see the one about the police officers and the phone call? Mm-mm. So he's talking about, you know, when you put on that badge and vest, you know, you never know if, you know, the wife or the husband or the children are going to get that devastating phone call. You know, the you're not coming home. I got that phone call. It's like,
no, you didn't.
It's like, bro, now Bo Biden was a cop too. I was like, dude, you are a dumbass, bro. A, you never got that call to begin with. And B, your son wasn't a cop, man. Like, the dude has just lost his shit, bro. And it's like, what were they saying? That he's not cognitive enough to be held accountable for some stuff, but yet he's cognitive enough to be the president? Hold, I mean, this is the dude that can push the red button, bro.
Yeah. Dude, that is probably the number one thing that pisses me off the most at him, the way he rolls out his son for everything, like every single thing. First off, you know, obviously it's terrible. Anytime a parent has to bury a kid, that's the absolute worst thing that could ever happen in their life, period, hands down. Nothing's even close. So I'm not trying to take away from that. But don't disgrace your son's honor by turning around and pretending that he was something that he was not. He did not die in combat. He did not die deployed. He did not die at the hands of another person. He died in a bed with family by his side in a sickness that maybe it was preventable. I don't know. I don't want to disparage him over that. But like, to turn it into something it's not, and he uses that with every single person. One day, one of these parents needs to just be like, your son died. You got to say goodbye to your son before he died. Fuck you.
I think it'll come.
Yeah.
So, there was a mom. I think it was an angel mom that he wanted to meet her, shake her hand. And I think she like turned her back on him or something like that. I think it was an angel. An angel mom, for those that don't know, it's someone whose child was killed by an illegal alien in whatever fashion it was. Those are angel moms. Yes, all I said right, illegal alien. I said it.
I'm putting the phone number up if anybody wants to call in and chat with us. I do want to talk to you about the Civil War, because I'm liking what I'm seeing right now. And let me explain this Hamas, pro-Palestine, whatever it is, shit that's going on right now. Bro, we all of us need to shut the hell up. Don't argue with any of these lunatics. Stop picking the side one way or the other. Amongst ourselves, that's fine. But with...
You're muted. You're muted. Can now you're officially muted. What Can was saying is that my buddy Alpha is absolutely a handsome individual.
That's exactly what I was saying. No, they're eating themselves. So just let it go.
We had you up to the part where you say amongst ourselves, it's okay. And then that's when you got rugged.
Yeah. They're eating themselves, man. They are eating themselves. Usually I get a pop in my ear to let me know nothing happened. It just went dead. Yeah, dude, they're eating themselves. Just let them do it. Let them do it.
I'm there with you, man. It's just people know I have plenty of friends on social media that are pro-Palestine. I have plenty of friends on social media that are pro-Israel. And when everybody wants to get my take, I say, I'm pro-humanity. I am anti-genocide. I am anti-war. I am anti-killing kids for any reason that there's, you will never get me to subscribe to any reason is okay for the death of an innocent child. Never going to happen. Never. And, you know, and America first. I don't care about Palestine. I don't care about Israel. I hope those people can fix what's going on, but how can I try to, how can I put the bandage on a wound in that country when my country's bleeding out? You know, it's not about, oh, that's not humane. Oh, that's not this. It's not, it's, a, you know, how many of us took a trip this week? What do the flight attendants tell you? Before you put the oxygen mask on your kid, you got to put it on yourself or you'd probably pass out trying to help your kid. You know, there's, and that's the, that they, here's the thing, man. And I recognize this just in my own, you know, caution to make sure that I'm not politically correct, but just that I'm not taken out of context. And it's because they've done propaganda to perfection, bro. And I'm going to sneeze here. Well, if I sneeze, I sneeze. The second I said it, I was going to mute myself. It goes away. Looks like we got a call coming in.
Call from
Tony. What do the flight attendants tell you?
To accept, press 1. To send.
Hey, Tony, welcome to the show. If you could just mute your background noise. Can you hear us?
Yep, I got it.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
I am doing excellent. What's up?
Are we on right now?
Yes, sir.
We're live.
All right. I love the show. I love you guys. But one thing I keep seeing is we need to organize. And how do we do that? I mean, if you go on Facebook, hey, we're going to have a, you know, back in the day, they'd have like every second Tuesday of the month, people would gather and figure out how to organize. What do we need to do? Well, if you try to pull that up now, they're going to have cops there. We're not going to be able to do it. We need to figure out a way somehow to organize, and somebody smarter than me needs to figure out how do we do that, you know?
What's the goal? Go ahead.
I'll say there's a great man that's already kind of gave us the tip on that.
Together, okay, if this happens, we need to call our congressman. We all need to do it at once. Just kind of get in a unity, everybody together, you know, to do stuff. We're all just, you know, every stuff happens and nothing happens. We need to organize, get together.
Well, we can do the organization, but what's the mission?
Get people all together, you know, just, well, we're so disorientated, you know?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying is we can get people together. I mean, we have events, you know, at Badlands, we have GART where we get, you know, a lot of people together, you know, Turning Point gets people together. You know, a lot of these organizations get a lot of people together, but I'm just saying, do you have a specific like purpose in mind, or is it just a general, like a mutual meetup?
No, I think it's gotta be bigger than that. It's gotta be city. First of all, GART Badlands, love to be there, hopefully to be there. But we need to get people to start getting organized when something comes up. How do we get our city, states, everything else together, and then get out there and call the congressman, whatever needs to get done. And if shit starts going down, we all need to know, how do we fight this? Where do we organize? Like military guys, you guys, how do we, you know, just defend ourselves? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, getting people together for, you know, mass call-ins to congressmen and senators to, you know, to try and get our voices on in their ear, mailing and stuff like that, that we can do. And we don't necessarily need to physically be together. It does make me nervous getting together physically because of the infiltrations and all that stuff. But I mean, it's, they're doing that on here anyways. Hi, feds. Hey, guys.
This is what I'll add to that, Ken. And, you know, people may disagree with me on this one, but this is where I am personally, just of what I've seen on a daily basis, is fuck the politicians. They're not for us. No. Show me one politician, and there's maybe three or four that are saying the right thing, but they're not able to see anything through to completion, which is what their mission is. So they're a mission failure. There's zero reliability we have on our government that we have right now, whether it's elected, selected, or a combination of both. And we've already been given a tip on how to start this, and it came from General Flynn. Local, local, local. The presidency is important. I understand that. I'm not taking from that. There's a fight there that needs to be had. But we don't have an immediate, tangible effect on that. What we do have an immediate effect on is our household, our street, our city, our county, and then our state. It's not as glamorous and sexy when you look at it at the local level, but it is the part where we have the most power. Because if we're having, you know, block parties, you know, and where we're getting together and telling people, hey, we just want to get together, just make sure this community, you know, our street is prepared for a natural disaster or something else, and then you can introduce some of these theories that we have, and then kind of fill your community out. Because on social media, we have 50,000, 100,000, 250,000 subscribers. But how many of those people live in our communities? You know, they're, for a lot of us, not very many. And that's where this information storm that is taken on social media is so important. But I think social media is like the ammo store, and our local communities is our actual weapon system. Like, this is where we go and find out, because if you know your neighbor and then all of a sudden the FBI or the DOJ, they start to attack your neighbor, you guys can get behind this person because you know them. You know they're not some dirtbag criminal. You're like, nah, man, I've been barbecuing with this dude for the last couple months. I know he's solid. And now they're trying to come after him. And then the community gets behind that person in whichever way that is. And we start pushing back that way. If this tyrannical government starts to see pushback at the thousands from little local incidences, that shit will put them in a panic, and it'll make them change their game plan. And that allows us to take ground. And in those little communities, it's not going to take very long for one street to turn into a block that turns into the majority of the damn city is all put together. That's originally how it was way back in the day with our forefathers.
Yep. All right, Tony, you still there?
Yep. No, I agree with that. That's what we need, is we need to start at a local level, everybody get together. But if you try to broadcast, hey, we meet up here at this day, you know, the cops, and because everybody's going to be there arresting people for, you know, trying to overthrow the government or whatever. So, yeah, I just think we need somehow to get together and get in the fight, you know?
Amen.
Get the cops involved. There's only one way to find out. If you invite them, they're going to be like, what are you inviting me to? And then when you tell them that, they're like, nah, man, I ain't about that. Well, then you know that they're not for you. Or they're going to be like, hey, I'm about that. You know, as long as you guys ain't crazy and where it's a law abiding thing, be like, oh, that's why we're inviting you. We want to keep this shit law abiding. I mean, that it's one way to find out if the guys in blue are on your team or not.
Yep. All right, Tony, we got to move on here, but thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. God bless. All right. Oh, we had another call. This person's been calling in nonstop. And I finally was like, oh, we will transition. We'll switch over. I'll click the end and accept. And now we have to wait until they call back. And it'll be in a second because they've been calling. I think I know who it is, too. I'm starting to
record. While we're doing that, where did you get that ghost hat at?
Paul.
Oh, okay.
He gave it to me at Gart 1.
I'm going to hit him up,
I think. And there was a gentleman at Gart 2 or Cocoa Beach that makes them. And I have his contact info somewhere. Really? I'll let you know. I'll find out. He made me that too. There we go.
from
Sean.
Sean, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
We're doing great. You finally got through.
Yeah, I know. I was trying for a little bit because I didn't know when the other guy was going to come off and then get stuck with somebody else.
No worries. No worries. What's up, man?
Nothing. First, I'm going to just say that I've been watching you guys. Actually, somebody put me on to you guys. Mr. Becker.
Oh, David Becker.
Yes.
He's awesome. Yes, he's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And I got with him, and he got me on to you guys. And I've been digging for a long time. I've been digging for about 6 years. And this has been insane, but this is exactly how it's supposed to work out. And I've been seeing a lot more people waking up, especially around my area.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. What's your favorite dig that you've been on?
Well, I started off with X22. I jumped to And We Know. I jumped to some other stuff. It was kind of like a little outrageous. And then I just kind of just got onto you guys, and it was more, you know, in your face. You guys are more with John and everybody like that. It's real stuff. Like the other stuff is a little too, like I said, a little too outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, I just want to just say that thank you guys for doing this, because I've been wanting to come. I might come to Myrtle Beach. I think you guys are having it.
I think that's,
I'm not sure.
That's the one after Deadwood.
Yes.
So probably sometime around like November.
I might actually come there. Because I'll be honest with you guys, I've always felt like I was alone in this.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know there was anybody else out there. It was kind of like, okay, you know, a friend of mine turned me on to it. The first thing he ever did was he gave me the Epstein list.
Oh, boy.
I was like, what the hell is this? You know, I was like, what are you giving me? And then it went from there. And then I fell down the rabbit hole.
Taking you from 0 to 100.
Right.
Yeah, dude. No, for real. I kind of went from 100, stayed there, and just like kind of just like was coasting.
Cruise control.
You know, I've been still coasting, but I just want to let you guys know I'm so happy what you guys do. I don't want to take up your time because I know other guys are probably trying to call in. I want to give them their time. Thank you so much for what you do. Hopefully one day I'll meet you guys, and fuck Joe Biden. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hell yeah. FJB. Dude, if you haven't been to GART, I can't recommend it enough. It is such an awesome experience. You know, like, dude, like each night hanging out with everybody, we had our own, you know, little groups. And it was funny because like we'd be talking like in a group, like three or four of us, and somebody would like walk by and stand off to the side and like wait until we were done talking. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, I just wanted to ask you a question. I was like, okay, get in here. This is an open forum. Like when we're all hanging out, we're just sitting around like friends talking, and we had a great time, man.
One of the coolest, I guess you can call it a compliment, and I got it several times, and talking to a couple of the other Badlanders, they got it too. And I thought it was so awesome was people that were like, hey, I just want to tell you that it's so cool that you guys are here who you are on when you're on the camera. Like, you guys are really, this is who you really are. And it's like, yeah, this is, you're not watching this is not an act.
No,
you know, this is who Brian is. This is who Alpha is. Like, you know, this is the way we are. So it was really cool to see people truly appreciate the authenticity of the team we have here. But on that same token, one of the things, and this is why I really encourage GART to anybody that hasn't done it, like try find a way to do it, is I've been to other events and I've been to other conferences. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that have gone to like the TPUSA and all that. And I'm not going to knock on any of those things, but the one thing that I'm going to say that separates GART from any other conference that I've ever gone to personally, or the people that I've talked to, is you get to hang out with the people that you came to see.
It's all like accessibility.
Like, we're not all at one table. We're at this table. We're at that table. We're in the hallways. It's like, you know, for those that had the virtual ticket, you see the interaction that's on camera, but you don't see, like, you know, break time. You don't see the elevator conversations. You don't see the, you know, the conversations, you know, at the bar or the different restaurants. Like, it's so awesome for not just the audience, but for us to really get to know, like, who each other are. And I think it's super cool to see that, you know, people are going to invest their money and they're going to invest their time, and they're really getting something for that. And I thought that, you know, I think our team did a really phenomenal job with that, man.
Well, I'm not going to name names, but I mean, Saturday was 420. So, you know, we had a little group of probably like 20 people that we were all down by the pond and hanging out in a circle. And took our shoes off. We were getting grounded, walking in the grass. What's that?
I said, look at that. We have a call coming through.
Call from
Mark.
Hey, Mark, how you doing, sir?
I am doing well, thank you.
What's up? How can we how can we help you? We can't help anybody, but what can we do for you?
Listen, guys. No, I just want to say I have been on board with Badlands since the very beginning. I started to awaken way back in 2009. I was at J6, and I'm an artist. I've been blackballed from a lot of shows and awards because of my views. I actually won a pretty big statewide award, and it was fairly close to the shootings, couple of school shootings, and I had some black rifles in my artwork, and they said, well, you can have your show, but you got to take these out. And I said, no. And they said, okay, well, we'll give the award to someone else. And, you know, I've been kind of working along in the shadows here. I really appreciate what you guys do. I have friends. One of my very best friends was in federal law enforcement for quite a while. He's retired. Another guy was a SWAT, a local police guy, and he's, you know, cousin of mine. And I know a lot of guys like you. I've seen what they do. I've had some views behind the scenes of what you guys have dealt with, veterans, and you know, it's just it's great to be able to come here to my studio and put you guys on and disconnect from the bullshit and get some real perspectives. And you know, I have family members, I have people I work with, I have other friends who are kind of normie, don't really see what's going on in the world. They think I'm the crazy guy. You know, I'm a new Bitcoiner. You know, I've always been kind of a prepper. You know, now people are coming to me saying, hey, you know, where did you get that, 25 year food? And, you know, can you sell me any ammo? And, you know, do you have this? And, you know, I'm like, well, where were you 10 years ago, dude?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Are you finding that some of the conversations that there's no way you could have had them, you know, back in 2009 with some of these people, that they're starting to become a little inquisitive to some of these things, and it's starting to get a little bit more normal to have some of these quote unquote fringe conversations?
I definitely am. And that's one of the things that keeps me positive. Other than you guys, because, you know, I would be blackpilling right now. If I weren't guided by some of your research, you know, I don't have time to do a lot of that. I'm not a great, you know, digger. But I appreciate, I can sense the truth when I smell it. And then, you know, I can do a little bit of digging on my own. I have noticed a huge increase in, you know, the normie people starting to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? Why are we sending more money to Ukraine? You know, I can't buy groceries for my kid.
Yep.
You know, I work with some housewives, you know, single moms and stuff, and they're totally on board. I have to say, it's usually the guys who are a little more normie and a little more hesitant, you know, to say anything politically incorrect. But a lot of the women I know are really on board.
That's an excellent point, dude. Like, women outnumber men at GART, like, probably like 3-1. Seriously. Like, there's far more women than there are men at GART. You know, I think the reason for that is women tend to be more intuitive. And I think a lot of what we're seeing right now requires intuition. You have to have a sense of something doesn't feel right. Be able to look at that from a grand, from the grand scheme of things and say something. Men are more rational. We need to see, you know, everything that we believe, we have to see it. You know, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear and half of what you see. Now
organized and color-coded.
Yeah, pretty much. Like alpha. Loser. Hey, but I would love to see some to see some of your artwork, man. Just anytime you want, just email it to me at cancon@cancon.net. I'm an artist myself, so.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I didn't know that. No, I will send you some stuff. I just finished a 4-foot by 8-foot piece, and it's called Nightwatch 2020. And I started this way back in 2013. And then it evolved as I was working on it. It was a lot of guys I trained with. I did some, you know, I had some good training with a lot of LE guys and military guys. And I invited them to come for a photo shoot. And I did this painting. If you're familiar with Rembrandt, he did a painting called The Night Watch back in 1642. And it was his local militia. And they were fighting the Spanish. It was a Dutch town, and they hired him basically to just paint the local militia. And I said, wow, what if I did something like this in 2013? Like, people would freak out if I did just a painting of modern citizens with weapons. And then as I listened to you guys and I started to become awake, I started to add things into this painting, and I changed things and scraped out whole sections, and it took me years to complete. I have 28 figures in this Night Watch painting.
Wow.
I'm varnishing it right now, and it hasn't been seen yet because I don't know. I basically don't have anywhere to show it. The local gallery came in, and the woman said, oh my God, this is beautiful. I love this. And then she saw like the American flag and people with guns and kind of went, it looks a little bit like J6. And I think we're going to stay away from this. And I got completely.
Now I want to see it even more, man. Like, I want to see this.
Yeah. I'm trying to, is this the Night Watch painting that you're referring to here? Is it Rembrandt?
Yeah, it's Rembrandt's Night Watch. So I did a modern version of this.
That's
It's all people that, like I said, guys that I trained with. I basically put out a call, and I said, show up like the shit just hit the fan. And so I had military guys coming in complete full battle rattle. I had LE guys coming. I had firefighters come in their firefighter gear. I had moms show up, you know. I have a, you know, one young lady who has a fully trained like protection dog. She showed up with, you know, with a shotgun and a full, you know, her battle gear on. And my kids are in it. My wife is in it. I put some biblical references. I put a lot of political references in there, if you know what to look for. And I, you know, like I said, it took years, and I did certain passages and scrub people out. And, but I have the busts of our founding fathers in the background. It's a big piece. It's sitting right here behind me in my studio, and no one's seen it in for years.
That's badass.
That is awesome, man.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Reach out and send me an email. I'd love to see some of your work, but we got to move on though, sir. Appreciate the phone call.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Just God bless you both, and you know, because we need you out here.
Yes, sir. God bless.
Semper Fi.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. Let's go ahead and hit our final sponsor, the show, real quick, and then we might be able to get one or two more calls in before G Money is going to try and kick us off and talk about Bitcoin. But we're not talking about Bitcoin on this one. We are talking about Ready Radio. Do you guys have? Oh, let me get that call. Let me get that thing off of there. I don't want to tarnish this. Do you have a comms plan for a communication blackout? The cost and complexity of a ham radio is overwhelming. Ready Radio is your answer. Handheld ham radios ready when you need them. Programmed to your specific zip code and shipped to your door by a diehard Badlander and America First family in Montana, Ready Radios will keep you connected to loved ones in your community and beyond. Don't spend thousands of dollars or hours getting into ham radios. That isn't feasible if you just want a backup for communication when the grid goes down. So get a Ready Radio for every member of your crew with no monthly fee ever. Head over to badlandsmedia.tv/ready and enter promo code Badlands to save 10% off your purchase. Note, an FCC license is required to transmit on ham frequencies, but there are exceptions in an emergency. ReadyRadio.coms, that's badlandsmedia.tv/ready, and use promo code Badlands. And I got to say, the folks over at Ready Radio sent me two badass radios, got them all ready to go here. They got them all set up for me. And
the box, hey, you guys, Alpha wants shit too. Okay.
So the box they sent it in, they wrote all over the box, hashtag Devolutions.
Oh, must be nice.
We love Badlands, Florida rocks. They wrote here, they said, Brian, thank you for all you do. Listening to you on Badlands Daily is how we start our day.
Hey, Radio, who do you think needs it more, Florida or California?
Well, we got hurricanes, man.
Speaking of which, here, G-Money will be.
I went to go, me and Alpha. Did you? Yeah, you and I went to go look for it, right? You, me, and Christy, we went to go look for it at the Barnes & Nobles next to the hotel, and we could not find it there, so I have to order it. Everybody's going to be reading this book. Like, we're going to have to do a software panel at Deadwood.
We are. So, interesting enough, I didn't realize it, but Major Jason P. Lowry and has down here, United States Space Force and MIT.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's the whole concept behind the book right there, is that it's written by a Space Force commander, or, well, major, that's talking about it. Have you read it at all? Are you starting? Yeah,
I went through the table of contents, and because it's broken into sections. I was like, I want to see what's at section five, you know, 5x5, 5x5. And it was the hierarchy. Here, I'll read it to you, because it was the hierarchy.
Does it have a lot of pictures for us?
No, but there's a lot of room to draw. Denise. So 5x5 is.
Hey, Denise, I'm going to put you on hold for just a second, okay?
So 5x5 is creating abstract power hierarchies using software. I was like, all right, let's roll.
Very badass. All right, Denise, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. It's been a while.
Yeah. Hey, Alpha.
How's it going?
I'm good. Sorry about your Niners in the Super Bowl.
Oh, we're just going to go there.
Let me just interrupt this conversation before it goes any further. If anybody tells me about the Panthers game, I will fight you. I've got it on pause downstairs. It's the third period and we're up 3-2. If anybody tells me about that game, I will fight you.
Well, my team lost last night, so I'm not very happy with them.
Wait, right who's now, your team?
The Stars.
Oh, that game was good though.
It was really good, but I don't know what's wrong. Audi is just, he's so good, and then he just lets stupid ones by. I don't know. Anyway.
Man, this playoff season has been nuts, man. Like, every game has been like a one or two goal game. Every game has been so good this season.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
It has. I haven't gotten to watch all of them, obviously, but yeah, the ones I've seen has been pretty, pretty awesome. So, anyway, I just wanted to... Two things about one about the caller, the second caller. I feel him because that's how I started out. I followed these really radical, way too far out there people at first, and then went and stopped. Sorry, my dog's attacking me. And then I actually saw Be Hizzy, and then found you and Neil and Marcus and all them, and then you brought me to Badlands, and there's my journey. I still follow some other people, but mostly it's Be Hizzy, Neil, and Badlands. So anyway, then I really, this was the first GART that I got to participate in. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go. Maybe, hopefully, Badlands or Deadwood, but probably Myrtle Beach, if I get to go at all, will be the one I actually get to go to. Hold on, I gotta let him out. He is.
Oh, you're good. Deadwood's gonna be fun because I think a lot of us are actually going to go up like a day or two early and stay, a couple days, maybe a couple days after, because John's been pumping it up, man. So, you know, we're gonna. I might bring the golf clubs and maybe play a round of golf. But,
you going, Alpha?
Absolutely, at Mount Rushmore. Okay. I've been wanting to see that my whole life.
I mean, no offense, Brian, but Alpha's California boy, so you know I'm a little partial to that.
Jeez.
But
you just met him like a year ago. You've known me for 3 years.
Okay. I really want to meet both of you, but if Christy comes, that's honestly who I really want to meet. So, no offense to either one of you, but she just seems really awesome. So, and then I have I work at a dental office now, and we work in a residential area. And the other day, a lady, asked me next door, she asked me about my car because my windows had been broken into. And I was talking to her about that, and she said something, and we got into talking about this administration, and she is actually from the Philippines. Dude, people that came here legally are not okay with what is going on. They are pissed. She went off on Biden, the administration, everything. So we are definitely winning with legal immigrants. And so I just wanted to kind of get you guys' take on that. And I don't think that even 4 years ago, we didn't have the support we do now, and we had massive support. So I just feel like we are winning, even if they are not letting us celebrate as much as we should be.
Awesome. Awesome. I am going to fight my wife.
Okay, I didn't want to start anything.
No. I'm totally kidding. I swear, if you, Christy, if you did that, she's out to dinner with her friends. Yes.
Did she give you the score?
She did. Yes. She did.
No. My wife is awesome. Yesterday was her birthday, so she went out with a couple friends tonight, and I was gonna go, but then it got switched to a little bit too late for me, so I wasn't able to make it. But all right, Denise, we gotta let you go because we gotta get to Rumble Rants, and then we gotta get out of here. But thanks so much for the phone call. Definitely appreciate it. Not really. I don't know why I just said that, because you're not my friend anymore, because you're more interested in meeting Alpha than me. So
damn, Skippy.
I said I'm most interested in meeting Christy. So.
All right. Well, that's my better half, so we'll let that slide.
I'll just say, if you put us together, we're still not good enough. So.
God bless. All right. God bless. Have a great night.
Bye.
All right. That is going to wrap up the phone calls. Let's go ahead and jump into some Rumble Rants here. I really hope that my wife is just messing. Well, she can't be messing around. It has to be the case, or maybe she doesn't know. She might not know. I'm gonna hope and pray that she doesn't know. All right, let's jump into these Rumble Rants. GhostSmith801 says, don't worry, Can. Panthers will win. Apparently they did. Uh-huh. Son of a bitch. GhostSmith801 said, bro, I'm a truck bros, meaning both of us, you and me, dude. I'm a truck driver. I know what it's like to have a golden shower, but not the R. Kelly kind.
Oh, wow. Thanks for clarifying that up, man. I was like, whoa.
Oh, Rise the Tire says, that was the safest, most secure military withdrawal of all time. Fact. Under Chris Krebs, must have been in charge of that. Caligirl 17, niece, 25 years old, got orders being shipped out from Camp Pendleton to Middle East within 3 weeks. Parents are libertards. Hopefully this will wake them up now. Yeah, fair winds. Well, not fair winds. That's usually when they're no longer with us. Safe travels and keep your head down and stay frosty. Semper Fi as well. Jamie Sailor 2 says, thank you guys for your service. Could y'all make it in today's military? I would own today's military, a bunch of soft soy boy bitches right now. And I mean that not as an offense to, not as a slight against the enlisted that we have right now. They're just not trained up the way that they need to be. We probably wouldn't make it alpha in the sense that we'd be like NJP'd like every 3 seconds. Oh, dude, take that down. I see what he's doing. I'm kicking him from the studio. Change your background. Okay, he did. Okay. Son of a bitch. Caprigine. What am I missing here? Good evening, gentlemen. Glad to have met you both in Dallas. Looking forward to being a sponsor of your show. Thank you for your contribution to our country's restoration. Well, thank you so much. Definitely appreciate that. It was, dude, I can't stress enough how awesome it is going to GART and hanging out and meeting all of you guys. And it's just, it's awesome, man. It's the Badlandia family is pretty badass. You guys are the,
It's a week since we did the VIP dinner day one, and I'm still talking about it, bro. Like that's how awesome it was.
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty badass. So, all right, man. Well, that's all I've got. We didn't get into too much into the Civil War talk. Maybe we'll save that for next week. You got anything coming up you want to plug?
Got some good shows coming up. You guys, so here's one thing I realized that I'm terrible at. I don't know if you fall in the same boat. There were so many people that were like, Alpha, I didn't know you did your own podcast. I'm like, yes,
it's good too. It's
very good. Pretty decent. So if you guys are like, what? Yes. Visit the alphawarriorshow.tv or just go on Rumble, search the Alpha Warrior Show. Love to get your guys' love out there.
Yes. Tomorrow night. Well, tomorrow morning, of course, I'll be on Badlands Daily with Chris Paul. So make sure you tune in for that. Friday night, I will be doing Why We Vote with Ash. And tomorrow night, we have Nate Kane on, who is going to talk about his contracted investigation into Connick out in Los Angeles. And that is going to be a fascinating Why We Vote. You definitely don't want to miss that show. And then on Tuesday night on my podcast on Rumble, CanCon, CANNCON, if you want to follow me on there, I will be having Nate Kane on to talk about him being the whistleblower for Uranium One. And so we're going to have a good time on both shows, Friday night and Tuesday night. So make sure you, if you don't follow me over on my platform there, give me a follow over there.
And even if you're like, oh, I know about Uranium One, not until you've heard it from Nate.
Yeah.
Not until you've heard it from him. I thought I had a pretty good grasp on it. And then after, you know, hearing, I was like, whoa. But I do want to plug someone special because I am finally recording. They finally gave me the time, you know, after making me beg and claw. But I'll be recording with Ash this weekend. So look for that show coming up here pretty soon. Oh, touche.
What are you guys going to talk about? How awful CanCon is in the right seat?
Nah, we won't do anything like that. I mean, if anything, we'll probably talk about how the Panthers score was 5-3. But I mean, I think that's probably not.
Fight you too. I am going to fight you too. Next time I see you, I'm farting on your pillow.
Done deal. Oh, that's deal. Terrible. You're going to be peacock, man. I don't want peacock at the conference.
Absolutely, man. You're going to be walking around with conjunctivitis, which is a sign of swine flu, by the way. Swine flu. All right, guys. Thank you guys all so much for tuning in tonight. I hope you guys had fun hanging out with us because I know I sure had a good time hanging out with you all. Alpha, it's always a pleasure to hang out with you. How were those brisket tacos, man?
Bro, you didn't pump them up, man. Those things. And I met my primo, man. I met my primo. Yeah. So come on. That was funny as hell, man.
Alpha and I had some good Tex-Mex in Texas. I took him to Muchachos. Actually, he took us to Muchachos. So, and
it was nice.
Dude, beef brisket tacos were so freaking good.
I'll tell you what. And man, they made a chilada the way it's supposed to be made. And before I forget, make sure you tell your wife happy birthday for me, man.
Absolutely. She's listening now and she's going to, I'm going to haze the shit out of her when she gets home for telling me the Panthers won. So I'm going downstairs to watch the rest of the game, smoke a joint and go to bed. See you guys tomorrow.